All right, we have kids to the classes today? All right. Children, you are dismissed to your classes. All right. So we get some more light up here, David? I don't know if these, if you could turn those on, that'd be great. All right. There we go. Get some light on the subject here. Praise the Lord. So we got some good stuff today. I'm excited what the Lord is going to impart today through the Word of God. All right. All right. First, I just want to open in prayer. Father, we just thank you for your Word. We thank you for speaking to our hearts today. I thank you for just showing us truths in your word today. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Hey, Dad, could you come up for a second?
I guess I'm the microphone stand. Microphone holder. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I think Matthew's obeying the Lord in something, and that's a good thing. You know, one of the things we need to do is learn to obey quickly when the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Amen?
All right, amen. All right. So today's topic is faith in the name of Jesus. And I'm excited about it. Are we Christians in this room right now or what? It's the only thing that actually works. And that's what I'm going to talk about today. Can you hear me? Am I loud enough? Are you good? Okay. Roll the tape. Okay, so today we're going to talk about faith in the name of Jesus. It's going to be really simple, okay? And I believe the Lord's going to cut through some of our thinking. You know, sometimes we're thinking in one direction and the Lord comes in a completely, you know, perpendicular, you know, thought. And that's when you know it's the Holy Spirit sometimes, is you know you're not thinking it and it completely goes crosswise what you're thinking. And you know it wasn't you. You're like, whoa. It just dawns on you, you know. Have you ever said that? You know, it just dawned on me. Or I saw it. You know, all of a sudden there's light, as I was talking earlier. There's light that suddenly comes into your spirit. And you understand. It's a spiritual thing. Okay, so we're going to talk about faith in the name of Jesus. If you turn to Acts 3, 1 through 16, this is the main thing we're going to talk about today. So if you turn to Acts. I was reading this. I don't even know how I came across this, but it just dawned on me. The Lord just spoke it to me. So we're going to read. It's the story of the lame man. It's a lame man healed. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. So what happened is Peter and John come to the temple, which was their habit, and praying, you know, it's important to have a habit of prayer. And they said, you know, we don't have any money for you today, but we have something better. And what we have, we're going to give it to you. So verse 11, now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch. I saw that they ran. Like they saw this man. They saw him every day. They're tired of seeing the guy, you know, because he always asks him for money. It's annoying. And so just being honest. And so they ran because they saw this happen. And they're like, something happened here. I want to see. I want to get a closer look. You know, you're ever in, like, public and something's going on and there's a big crowd and you're like, what's going on? I don't know. And so the initial people, they ran, you know, to see what happened. And everybody else is like, what's going on? So you want to see, you know, who's here? You know, what's going on? So they just kind of, they're curious. So they were greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this, or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him that this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers, but those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, He has thus fulfilled, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, there's multiple things I want to point out today. Verse 12, so when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this, or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? That's really key right there. So this is a huge point. You'll never get godly enough to heal somebody. You'll never do it. So just stop thinking you will. Stop. You can't be godly enough to heal somebody, okay? You'll never be godly enough to get saved. If somebody in this room is not saved, you'll never be godly enough to get saved. You can't do it. You'll never be godly enough to get to heaven. So forget it. You'll never be godly enough to get healed or delivered or prospered. You will never get to that level. You cannot do it. You can't be godly enough. And that to me, that's so encouraging. Okay? And I'll clarify, because some of you might be like, what? Tilt. My brain's tilting. You'll never be righteous enough. You can't read the Bible enough or go to prayer enough. You can't confess and make faith declarations enough. You can't memorize scriptures enough. You can't listen to enough teaching podcasts or watch enough faith teaching on TV. You can't do it. You can't do it. He said, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this, or why do you look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk? So they're saying, we didn't do it. It's not us. Not me. I'm not godly. You know what I'm saying? That's what they were saying. And you're like, Peter, you know, the rock of the church, you know, how? How could he not be godly enough, you know? But that's what he said, okay? Let's turn to Galatians 2. I was preparing for this, and the Lord pointed this out, and I was like, whoa, I could just, like, read the whole book of Galatians on this sermon. But, yeah, we're not going to read the whole book. Let's see here. We're going to do some reading, though. Verse 11 says, now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. Wow, we just pointed out there's a couple of problems. Like, Peter, first off, he was walking in faith, right? But he had mistakes, just like anybody else. Basically, just kind of the overview, the Jews, you know, Paul, for those of you who don't know the story, Paul became a Christian. He was persecuting the church, and the Lord radically changed his life. And so some of the Jews were starting to say, oh, you need to follow the law. You need to be circumcised in order to be Christian. You need to do everything. You need to, you know, you can't light candles. I don't know if they went that far, but you can't light candles on the Sabbath. You can't do, you know, and they're getting really legalistic because they were afraid of the Jews because they wanted to win the Jews to the Lord. But they really felt like, you know, but then Paul said, wait a minute, what happened to grace? Like, what happened to chapter 2 in Acts? You know, that sort of thing. What happened to it's not your godliness that healed this man. Like, what, you're telling people they have to be circumcised? You know, what happened to the initial thing? You know, you're kind of straying from what you initially said, the initial revelation. So that's what happened. Let's look at verse 16. Says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So I just encourage you today, if you're struggling with trying to be good enough, like, don't forget it. Stop. Just stop today. Stop right now. You can't be good enough. You can't work hard enough. You can't strive hard enough. You know, we got to lean on God and just say, you know, it's faith in Jesus Christ. It's not, you know, I was talking to Dad, and we don't want to have to always, you know, preface our what we say, but we do because we're pastoring. We have to make sure people are on the same page. You know, we have to come and gather because, you know, the Word says the more we see the day approaching, we have to gather together as saints. But you coming to church is not going to get you to heaven. You coming to church is not going to make you righteous. You know, you can get to heaven. You could come to church once a year, and you're still going to get to heaven as long as you believe in Jesus. You know? And that's the grace message. But we also know that if you don't meet, you could fall away. You start sinning. Your heart get hard. You know, what we saw, that happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, Lot, he was in a terrible environment, and he just got hard to it and didn't care anymore. To the point where he was the only righteous person. And even that, like, he wasn't, you know, he had a hard heart. And God had to destroy the city. It was an amazing story. So there's certain things, there's consequences. We're just talking about seed time and harvest. You know what? If you sow righteousness, you're going to reap righteousness. If you make a decision to change your family and decide from the top down, you know, I don't care what my past has been, this is going to be a righteous heritage. So that you can say, you know, if your parents are not righteous, if they didn't serve the Lord, you can say, from now on, according to Psalm 112, my children will be mighty on the earth because I'm the righteous. Praise the Lord. You see the blessing of Abraham on, I was reading about Benjamin Netanyahu, and he's the prime minister of Israel, and I was looking at his lineage, and his it's amazing lineage. They're all lawyers, they're all professors, they're all academics, and because they are yearning for Zion, like I think it was his dad or his grandpa was a Zionist, you know, and they're serving the Lord, you know, and there's a blessing of Abraham that comes on the generation. If your family is not blessed, if your family's not prosperous, maybe it's time for you to make a decision to start serving the Lord. Because if you start serving the Lord, then your family will look more like John Wesley and not like the other man. You know, if you start serving the Lord, your children will be prosperous. They'll be doctors. They'll be, you know, musicians. They'll be all sorts of, they'll begin to prosper. Praise the Lord. They'll be lawyers. They'll be professors. They'll be prominence. The Lord will add glory and power to your family heritage. So hang in there. If you're serving the Lord, there's a reason for it. It's for your family. Praise the Lord. So Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. You can't be justified by the law. Verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we're crucified with Christ. It's by faith. It's not by works. It's not by what you're doing. You can get so caught up, even in not religious things, like, oh, I have to do this. Oh, I have to do this. I have to do this. Why? You know, I say, why? Well, just relax. And I'll get into that later. Verse 22, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. So if you're trying to make all these rules and regulations to follow for yourself, then what's the point in the blood of Jesus? You know, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us of our sins. It's a continual thing. And so if you're making mistakes, the Lord's going to be, you know, the only way for us to have fellowship with God is for him to continually cleanse us because he's a perfect God. And so we're all doing something stupid right now, even if you don't know what it is. I heard a man say, he said, I know I'm doing something really stupid right now. I just don't know what it is. So if we kind of have the attitude like, Lord, show me what it is, and I'm just going to do what I see, and then you're going to show me what the stupid thing is, and then I'll change. So it's a heart of obedience. Say, I'll change when you show me. You know, I'll do it, and then do it. Galatians 3:5, therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Okay? So you come into church every Sunday is not going to get you healed. It's your faith that's going to get you healed, right? And sometimes it's encouraging to think, you know, if you're at the rock bottom and you're just like, you say, I went to church, that's faith, because I believe that God's real. And so you can start there and say, you know, I prayed today. That means I have faith on some level that God's real, right? So if we base it out of faith, then we'll get results. Okay? I listened to Jim Ord. I think it was his Saturday night message. He said something really cool. He said, we've bought into this lie that we are going to have to be in therapy all our lives. And I was like, wow, that's really true. Like Christians, we think that. We really do. And I put in my notes, like, don't amen what I just said because you think that. Let me just say that again. We've bought into this lie that we are going to have to be in therapy all our lives. Don't amen. You think that. You really do. Because I know I do. You think, oh, someday I'll get to this spiritual level and people will be raised from the dead and people will be healed. And you have this idea, like, we all have it in our hearts. We want to experience the presence of God and the power of God. But we have this idea about this therapy session, like, oh, I have to be in church 20 years before I'll reach my goal of healing the sick or whatever. You know, I have to confess enough. I have to be in the Bible enough. I have to, you know, sing enough prayer. I have to be in church, and I really have to just be holy, you know what I'm saying? And this is crosswise to what we're thinking, because there's a lot of things I could set aside and say, well, this is because this and this, you know, preface all this stuff, because there's a lot of stuff to preface. But I just trust that the Holy Spirit will communicate what I want to say today. So don't amen that because you think, you really think that. You really think I have to be in therapy all my Christian life. Praise the Lord. That's just challenging to me, you know? So you really think that. You really have a someday mentality. Someday the Spirit of God will manifest. The glory of God will fill the room. Someday lame people will walk. Someday the blind will see. Someday we'll do greater works than Jesus. Today I want to show you something that not only bothers me but also bothers the Lord, I believe. So if the Lord convicts you, I'm not trying to point anybody out in particular. Just receive the conviction, you know, and it was changed because I do it too. Psalm 78:41 says, yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power the day when he redeemed them from the enemy. So we don't want to limit the Holy Spirit. We don't want to limit the power of God. And I know we say in this church, this is what I was going to talk about. We say over and over, we talk about we live on such a low level, or we just don't get it, or we live so far below what God has for us. We usually try to be humble about it and get sober-faced and depressed and say, amen, yes, brother, ain't it so? We do that. We do that. And we have a heart for God, you know what I'm saying? And that's good. It's good to be humble. But the Lord's showing me something here, so I hope you receive it today. I believe you will. Don't limit the Holy One of Israel with your words. Don't limit him with your words. There is no higher level to go to. Let me just show you that. There's no higher level to go to, and I want to tell you that a little bit. So I submit to you, we are on the highest level now. Right now. Let me say that again. We are on the highest level now. Praise the Lord. And we kind of like tilt. Some of you are kind of looking at me weird. What? Like, it can't be possible. You're like, I have to be in therapy all my life. That's what you're thinking. Because sometimes you don't experience stuff. And so we think, oh, well, then it has to be this way. And, oh, man, I have to do this, 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 this. Praise the Lord. That's just, that's challenging, isn't it? So Matthew 28:18 says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, you know, we usually read the verse after this. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded to you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So that's usually what we say, go into all the world. But then we don't read the verse before. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Then he says, go, right? So if Jesus has all authority and he says, go, that's pretty cool, right? There's something in us that we have to follow a law, you know? That's one of the things I think is kind of cool. You know, it's like a natural proof that God exists, is we all have to be right. Everybody has to be right. You have a desire in your heart to be right. You're like, I'm right. You know, the liberals are right, the conservatives are right. You know, what's right? You know, and then all the religions think they're right. But there's only one truth, right? You can't make up the law of gravity because it exists. It's truth. So you have to find out what is truth. Jesus is the truth. Praise the Lord. So, okay. Praise the Lord. So Peter saw, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this, or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we have made this man walk?" You know, these men, they walked with Jesus. They were uneducated, and the Pharisees and all the religious leaders of the time, they looked at him and they said, these men have been with Jesus. You know, they're uneducated, but they talk with authority. And that's awesome. You know, they talk with authority, and they said, hey, I'm not righteous. You know, I'm not so godly that I healed this man. Peter just made a key point. Don't look at us as if we're spiritual Jesus gurus, you know. That's what people think. They have this idea that you have to be a spiritual Jesus guru. And so I guess one of the things the Lord is showing us today is a secret, if you will. Everybody likes secrets, but things are really basic. Right? I this is funny, okay? Check this out. If you did the secrets you know, you don't need any more secrets. There's a proverb that says, the fool looks for wisdom. He looks to the ends of the earth. And it kind of dawned on my heart one day, and it was just this, simply this. The wise man knows wisdom's right here, right now. If you just do what you know to do, that's wisdom. But if you think you have to go seek out wisdom, if you have to go to Nepal to find some guru on the top of a mountain to get enlightenment, that's not wisdom. That's foolishness. If you do what you see to do right now, that's wisdom. So there's a key point here. Don't look at us if we're spiritual Jesus gurus. We're not so hot. We're not so cool. You can do this too. This is the Matthew version or something, you know, the Matthew translation. You can do this too. Let me tell you how. And then he said, and his name, through faith in his name, Jesus of Nazareth, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So, and his name, through faith in his name. That's the key. Right there. It's not your righteousness. It's not what you do. It's not how many times you go to church. It's faith in the name of Jesus. That's it. That's how you get saved. That, and if somebody needs to get saved today, if the Holy Spirit's tugging on your heart, that's the only way you're going to save. You say, I have faith in the name of Jesus. I'm a screw up. I don't care. I can't get to heaven. Forget it. But I have to have faith in the name of Jesus. Simple. Done and done. That's it. That's the message of the gospel. God made it really easy for us. So let's stop making it so complicated. So if you find yourself this week trying to pray, you know, and we're going to prayer early morning prayer, and that's good. Like, I don't want to, you know, stop people from going. But what I'm saying is, if you're in the middle of an index prayer, which you should be doing, and you're being faithful, and then you just realize all of a sudden, this index prayer is through faith in the name of Jesus. It's not how much I pray it or how much revelation I get out of it or how many people, relatives we pray around the world or whatever. It's faith in the name of Jesus. And sometimes when we pray, it's kind of, the Lord showed me this too, is when you're praying for your dinner or lunch or whatever, sometimes you say, Lord, bless the food in the name of Jesus, amen. Fine. I was thinking, I haven't done it yet myself, but we pray in the name of Jesus, but we are in the name of Jesus. So it's kind of a religious activity to say in the name of Jesus sometimes. Obviously, we're doing it in the name of Jesus, so there's a power of declaring the name of Jesus. But it's like, Father, thank you for this food. And just come out of your heart, because we are found in Jesus. So it's how you pray. Sometimes I encourage you to just stop for a second and just pray out of your heart, not out of your thinking and not out of your repetition. Just say, Lord, what can I thank you for today? You know, thank you for Bob. Praise the Lord for Bob. And, you know, and then just thank, and then just, you know, and just, you can even find out why the Bible says to bless your food, you know. Lord, you said you'd bless my bread and water and cast all sickness and disease from my midst. And we just thank you for that. So pray in the Spirit, you know, pray through, out of the Spirit when you're blessing your food. Okay. So that's a key point. His name, through faith in his name. If you're born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, there's no higher level to get to than faith in the name of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. So I just encourage you, if you just feel like you're not on that level, whatever that level is, just step back and say, you know what, I am on that level. So, devil, you just pack it, you know. Because I'm there. You're there right now. If you're in Jesus, if you're saved. There's no higher level to get to. That just takes so much pressure off. You know, just like stop striving. Now, we'll always grow, you know. Don't think that you're there. You know what I'm saying? But you're there, if that makes sense. So John 14:12 says, Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, that's faith in the name of Jesus, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. So he said we do greater, and so we just tilt right there. So don't let your mind tilt. You're kind of like, you turn it off. You're like, oh, how's it possible? How's it ever going to happen? I got to be in therapy all my life. Because that's your thinking. I submit to you that what we have to do is we just have to obey the Holy Spirit and have faith in the name of Jesus. If the Lord says, share your faith to this person, do it. And then if there's an opportunity, pray for the person. Lay your hands on them. You know? That's what it's all about. And then use faith in the name of Jesus. That's what's going to get them healed. That's what's going to get them saved. Okay? So we don't have to be in therapy all our lives. Forget it. Praise the Lord. That's liberating. Okay. So in his light we see light. Psalm 36:9 says, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. So stop talking about what you don't know, don't have, can't do. Quit it. You keep looking in darkness. That's all you're going to get is more darkness. When did that ever help you? Just talking about what you don't know or can't do. It's kind of a cycle, and you start getting depressed, and then you're thinking, and then you're just like negative all the time. That's bad. Start with the light you have, even if it's a little bit. You know, just thank the Lord sometime. You know, sometimes the Lord can bring you out of something, and so you're not doing it all the time. Whether it's, you know, there's different seasons in our lives. We have, you know, different jobs or whatever. Like right now, I have more free time on my Sunday afternoons, and life is funny. You can just like I'm not working on Sunday afternoons now, and it's really nice, you know. But you can like, you have to be thankful. You said, Lord, you know what? Wait a minute. I might not be having the best day right now, but thank you, Lord. I have some time off. You know, so be thankful for what you have. So that's what looking into the light is. You know, if you start talking about more about, oh, we're not on that level. Oh, we never get there. Oh, it's so hard. Oh, it's so complicated. Oh, we have to be in therapy all our lives. We're never going to experience the next level, if you will. Because you don't think you're there, right? So we got it easy. All we have to do is have faith in the name of Jesus and hear and do what the Father says to us by the Holy Ghost. It's easy peasy. It's easy. You tilted again, didn't you? You didn't believe that. It's easy peasy, right? You're just like, no, it's not. I have to be in therapy all my life. No, you don't have to be in therapy all your life. I hope we're all honest people here. Like, we're not the power source. If you think you are, you're silly. You know? That's why we were reading in Daniel. And Nebuchadnezzar, he had so much power. You know, I watched this movie the other night. It was about kings in the ancient times. And they had so much power. Like, they were gods, pretty much, on this earth. Because he said, kill this man, they kill him. They're like, oh, cool. Give me some money. Oh, cool. It's like, I think I'll take another 10 wives. You know, they had so much power. Like, they were gods, pretty much. And then God comes in to Nebuchadnezzar, and he's like, no, you're not. I'm going to strike you with the spirit of dumb, and you're just going to be stupid. And he's like, to prove that I put in power who I want in power. And that's encouraging for us, you know, to look at our politicians and say, God, you could strike any one of them with the spirit of stupid any moment. And so he did that. He did that. So the Lord did that to prove his sovereignty over this earth. Right? So let's stay humble. You're not the power source. He's the power source. And we keep it focused on the faith in the name of Jesus. and not in our works, not in how much we're reading the Bible, not how much Christian therapy we're having. And I encourage you, for those of you who are operating the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit, it's like, you know what? You're not smart enough to figure out what's wrong with somebody. I'm not smart enough to determine, like, even my own emotions and psychology and all this stuff. Like, I've been listening to some teaching, and you can just be like, man, like, what happens if I missed it here? What happens if I don't do it? Or if I missed it here, and I missed it here, and I missed it here? You can freak out. You're like, God, wait a minute. I just gotta have to do what I see to do and just have faith in the name of Jesus that you're going to pull me through and make me everything you want me to be. So, Lord, we thank you for pulling us through. And, Father, we thank you that we're on the level that you brought us up as family, Lord, and that you've given us faith in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we just thank you for that boldness that the apostles had. They said, we're not godly. It's not us. It's the Lord that put the garment of salvation, the robes of righteousness on us. Praise the Lord. So, Acts 2:46 says, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. And I was thinking about that. That's so, you know, I said easy peasy a minute ago. God, he wants us to live this life with a simplicity of heart. And if they could do it, we can do it. So what I'm saying, and I've been repeating it a lot, you know, just we don't have to be in therapy all our lives. And it's simplicity of heart. Just take a simple faith and say, Lord, I believe in the name of Jesus. I have faith in the name of Jesus. And not myself, but in the name of Jesus. So don't make this complicated. Have faith in the name of Jesus. Not your good works, what you do, how you set up rules for yourself or others, what you think God is forcing you to do or not. Just stop, you know, stop. And just have faith in the name of Jesus. And then do what God is telling you to do. So do what God is telling you to do. Have a simplicity of heart. Don't make things complicated. Don't make it complicated. Hear and do. That's really what the Christian life is about. You know, is hearing and doing in the faith in the name of Jesus. That's simple. So if you could make some laws for yourself, just hear and do and have faith in the name of Jesus. But there's freedom. There's grace. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 2:4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It says he raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, I mean, there is no higher level to get to legally. We are at the highest level. You know, we are sons, we are joint heirs with God. He set us there. We're there. You're there right now. If you believed in the name of Jesus, you're there. You can't get any higher. And now it's just up to us to hear and just do what he says. Acts 3:17 through 19 says, yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers, but those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. The Lord wants to refresh your life. So right now, I just want to give an invitation. If someone needs to receive Jesus and just say, you know what? That's easy. Let me just have faith in the name of Jesus. That's all. You know, God, he'll clean you. He'll clean you. He'll make you a better person and all that stuff. He'll work on that later. The key issue right now is just simply having faith in the name of Jesus. That's all. People have this idea, as I just said, I'll have to be good enough. I can't be Christian yet because, oh, I have to do this, I have to do this, I have to stop doing drugs, I have to stop, you know, hope you're not beating your wife, but you know what I'm saying. I have to stop doing, no. I mean, please do, stop. Don't do that. It's bad. But what I'm saying is, you know what I'm saying? You don't have to stop being a bad person in order to believe in the name of Jesus, because he'll fix you. He'll stop all that bad stuff that's wrong. You know what I'm saying? You know, if you're the worst person ever, you know, it just comes to that decision point. Faith in the name of Jesus. All right. Praise the Lord. So I just want right now, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'd like you to raise your hand. If you want to receive Jesus right now, I want you to raise your hand. It's real simple. I want to have faith in the name of Jesus. So right now, if there's anybody in the room that wants to receive the Lord Jesus, simple. Just raise your hand. Praise the Lord. And I'll lead you in a prayer. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. All right. Thank you for raising your hands. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. Just pray after me. Father in heaven, I believe in Jesus.